Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2022 with a release date of Friday, July 29th, 2016 to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
The following is a QST. We begin with very late-breaking news. On Friday, July 29th, just as this newscast went to air, it was announced that Hera Arena was officially closing and that Dayton Hamvention was putting contingency plans into action, something they've been working on behind the scenes for several years now. The new Hamvention venue will be in the Dayton area, so changes to visitor and vendor logistics should be minimal. We'll post more info to our Facebook and Twitter pages as it becomes available. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW. Now, Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
Amateurs discover different ways to help in wildfire country. Get ready for a one-man National Parks Marathon, and at long last, Thailand administers its advanced class radio test. All this and more in Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 2022, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's first and only independent, on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, here is Skeeter Nash, N5ASH.
We look again now at the wildfires that have been raging this season, mostly in the American West. With so much attention given to the important work hams do in disaster communication, we look now at other ways hams are contributing off the air. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Newsline has been following a number of wildfires this season. A significant fire broke out in late June near Weldon, California, where the Sequoia Amateur Radio Group was preparing for their field day. But a lot of the hams didn't get involved on the radio. Rather, they went out and physically assisted setting up shelters and emergency supply centers.
Most of the Aries people up here, we didn't get involved on the radio. We wound up physically going out and doing things.
That's Mike Higgins, KA6IYS.
Helping set up the shelters, worked at the distribution points for emergency supplies, because we had over 300 homes that burned, people that were displaced.
Mike told me their volunteer spirit exists throughout their group.
All of us have always been active in our communities our whole lives. I think it's just the way our group is.
They were able to identify a few weak areas.
We did some message handling training at one time, and that's one of the weak areas we hit upon this time. We had a shelter full of people, and we had people wanting to know who was in there, and we didn't really have anything set up to handle health and welfare traffic, and that's one of the things that we're going to be working on now is to get that taken care of.
The local government services appreciate the help from the hams.
They knew we had our act together. We worked very closely with the Kern County Fire Department Office of Emergency Services. We've got antennas that we've got dispersed out at different locations. All these new buildings that everybody builds are pretty much RF tight. We're going to get antenna drops in all these places that are potential shelters now.
Mike says everything came together this time.
We're fortunate. We've got a community that's got a lot of background training that's very versatile. They can do anything. What we've preached all along is you take care of yourself and your family first. When you've got that stable, then you see what you can do for somebody else. And that's basically what everybody did.
For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Kent Peterson, KC0DGY.
Imagine going on the air from one of our nation's national parks during this year's centennial celebration. Now imagine going on the air from a whole collection of national parks, one right after the other, in 24 hours. Amateur Radio Newsline's Paul Brown, WD9GCO, spoke with one ham who's doing just that.
The ARRL's National Parks on the Air program has certainly raised a lot of interest and excitement this year. There have been many interesting activations, unique operations, but probably few as ambitious as the one that Vance Martin, N3VEM, has planned. His goal?
About a month and a half to 2 months ago, I found out I had to make a work trip to Lexington for a training thing that I'm going to be involved in, and they kind of allotted us a whole day to travel, and I said, well, instead of flying there, I'm going to drive and see how many parks I can hit in between. So that's kind of where it all started.
Martin, who lives in Pennsylvania, loves these sorts of events, especially this one.
You know, at the end of 2015, when they made the announcement about National Parks on the Air, I was actually pretty excited about it because I kind of like that type of thing. So when they made the NAPODA announcement, I was like, well, that's awesome. I travel around all the time for work anyway, so as I travel for work, I'll just see how many of these parks I can hit. My primary goal is to hit all 12 within that 24-hour period. So that's kind of what I wanted to do, is try to get 12 in a single day. You know, as I'm at each park, I kind of blocked out a chunk of time. So I'll stay there as long as I need to get the minimum number of contacts. but I plan on staying at each park for, you know, about 30 to 40 minutes. So based on past experience in other parks, I've activated in 30 to 40 minutes. I can usually rack up somewhere from, you know, 30 to 60 contacts.
He told me that operating portable is no big deal for him.
Most of my operations have always been portable because my house has been under construction for a year and a half, so I don't have a proper shack in the house. So everything I've been doing has been portable.
Martin is quite optimistic about his chances.
I don't know if I'll actually get to all 12, but I'm presuming if my plan goes as planned and propagation cooperates and all that, I should be able to do it, you know, based on past activations and how many contacts I've been able to get that amount of time. But my plan is to at least get through as many of them as I possibly can.
If you'd like to follow him, go to his blog at www.n3vem.com. This is one man who is truly excited by the phrase road trip. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Paul Brown, WD9GCO.
The big day for Vance's NPOTA Marathon is Monday, August 1st. So if you want to go along for the ride via radio, be listening starting at 0922 UTC. Not all the excitement these days revolves around summertime activities. In southeastern Australia, where it's winter, a small group of amateurs has an equally ambitious agenda for the snowy, hilly landscape there. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
If you're an amateur planning to operate from a remote snowbound location in Victoria in southeast Australia, what could be more important than having a good dipole? Try a good ski pole. A group of adventurous amateur radio outdoorsmen, led by Gerard VK3GT and Stephen VK3SN, have been ready for this kind of winter action for some time. For 4 days, beginning Friday the 29th of July, the team is embarking on their annual cross-country ski trip that will not only cover the remote Bogong High Plains, but also cover the bands, 160 all the way up to 70 sems. They'll be operating QRP using lightweight solar-powered rigs and homebrew antennas. In some spots, the trip promises to be a slippery slope indeed. Actually, it's expected there'll be several slippery slopes. Team members will ascend at some points to more than 1,800 metres above sea level. If you're hoping to contact them, be listening on 40 metres in the afternoons and on 80 metres in the evenings. That's VK time. And even on local repeaters. The team is hoping to break the ice, so to speak, with other radio operators whilst calling CQ. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Graham Kemp, VK4BB.
What are you doing on Sunday, August 7th? Well, if you're in the Chicago area, you might just want to head down to the Will County Fairgrounds. Amateur Radio Newsline's Neil Rapp, WB9VPG, tells us why.
When the hosting club is named the Hamfesters, how can anyone resist attending what else but the club's annual Hamfest? The all-day gathering hosted by the appropriately named Hamfesters Radio Club, W9AA, takes place at the Will County Fairgrounds in Piatone, Illinois, on Sunday, August 7th. The gates open at 6 a.m. and the main hall, home to 14,200 square feet of exhibitors, opens at 8 a.m. This is the 82nd year for the Chicago area Hamfest. The club, founded in 1933, has enjoyed a history as interesting as its parade of hamfests. Club visitors and members, including radio pioneers Lee DeForest and Wes Shum, W9DYV. Advance tickets are $8 or $10 at the door. Kids younger than 12 are admitted free. Please note that license testing by VEs will take place at the hamfest, starting at 8 a.m. and running through 10:30 a.m. For those folks who'd like to take home a shiny new license, along with all that nice radio and computer equipment from the massive flea market. For more information, visit their website, hamfesters.org. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Neil Rapp, WB9VPG.
Time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including W9EAR, the EARS Wide Area Repeater Network, in Vincennes, Indiana, Mondays at 8:30 p.m. The FCC has charged California amateur Philip Baudet, N6PJB, with malicious interference, transmitting music, and failure to identify, following complaints of interference on 80 meters filed last year. A notice of violation was sent to him after agents, using direction finding, tracked the signal to his Burney, California home. The FCC reports that its agents confirmed the violations in August and October of 2015. The agency has asked him to respond in writing within 20 days of the notice, which was issued on July 13th. The FCC is asking him to explain each violation and its circumstances and offer what remedial actions were taken. The Enforcement Bureau indicated that a notice of violation could lead to stronger action, such as a notice of apparent liability for forfeiture, if warranted. Who represents amateur radio operators in Bahrain? That's a good question. Amateur Radio Newsline's Jason Daniels, VK2LAW, reports on the confusion there.
The website of the International Amateur Radio Union listed the Amateur Radio Association of Bahrain, ARAB, among its member societies earlier this week, although the Bahrain organization has now been suspended. According to the minutes of the IARU Region 1 Executive Committee meeting held in early May, upon inquiry, the Bahrain authorities told the IARU that the Radio Society was not an authorised international representative of Bahrain amateurs. In the minutes meetings, Committee Chairman Don Beattie, G3BJ, indicated that the Bahrain Amateurs Group would first need to make a formal application for membership to the IARU, and until such time, its activity with the union would be suspended. The minutes published on the IARU website explained that the Bahrain Group's initial inclusion in IARU member listings was based on Bahrain authorities' previous confirmation that the group was indeed authorised as an international representative. As of now, however, the IARU will await further word from Bahrain on its status and wait for a formal nomination and application for the Amateur Radio Society. The Bahrain group, A92C, posted a notice on its website saying that meetings are currently suspended until further notice. The IARU Executive Committee Secretary Dennis Green, ZS4BS, also indicated he would be asking another group, the Bahrain Amateur Radio Group, Alpha 92 Alpha Alpha, BARG, to remove the IARU's logo, as well as an online statement that this group is a member society. The minutes state that until an appropriate amateur radio entity submits a valid application, there will be no member society representing Bahrain. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jason Daniels, VK2LAW.
In Thailand, there are a number of proud new advanced class licensees. They're the country's first since the king himself became licensed. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's John Williams, VK4JJW.
Looks like the king of Thailand, whose advanced license call sign is HS1A, has finally got plenty of company. This summer, 171 hopeful intermediate license class hams attended and 155 passed Thailand's first ever advanced class amateur exam, which was given on June 18th. They'll be upgrading their licenses as well as their power on HF all the way to 1 kilowatt. These applicants were not all OMs either. Some of the YLs taking the exam were the Thai 100 watts magazine editor Theta HS1ASC, RAST Treasurer Nong E HS0VDX, and RAST Registrar JC Goy E20NKB. Advanced class is nothing new to Thailand radio, of course, not if the king himself is the holder of such a license. It's been in the nation's radio regulation since 1987, but the two-hour exam was never made widely available until now. Thailand has about 108,000 amateur radio licensees, down significantly from its peak years when licensed hams totaled about 248,000. Advanced class wasn't the only category to ever be challenged by a long-time lack of exams. Amateurs weren't able to take their intermediate exam in Thailand for 8 years until that exam became available again in May 2012. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm John Williams, VK4JJW.
In the world of DX, LIGO, F5IRO, will be on de-expedition from São Miguel Island in the Azores, working as CT8/F5IRO between August 5th and August 19th. Be listening on the HF bands for CW and some SSB. Find QSL info on F5IRO's QRZ page. Takei, JG8NQJ, is active for the next few months as JG8NQJ/JD1 from Marcus Island in the Minami Torishima. He will be on the air in his spare time, mainly on 17 meters, but you may also find him on 20, 15, 12, 10, or 6 meters working CW. Send QSLs to JA8CJY or via the Bureau to JG8NQJ. Members of the Japan Amateur Radio Development Association will be using the call sign JD1YBV while on the air from Chichijima Island next month. The hams are celebrating the Silver Jubilee of the Radio Association. Be listening between August 23rd and August 28th on 40 through 6 meters for operators using CW, SSB, and RTTY. We end this week's report with the story of a pair of radio operators in the UK whose outdoor expedition hit a bump. Well, they were supposed to hit the bump. Their plan was to treat that bump as if it were a miniature, a very miniature, summit on the air and activate it. Here's Amateur Radio Newsline's Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
On Tuesday the 19th of July, Jim Bacon, G3YLA, and Steve Nichols, G0KYA, ascended to a new accomplishment in amateur radio by climbing a modest incline and activating a clump of land in North Norfolk. They were barely 63 metres or 207 feet above sea level. The duo named their slightly elevated spot the Beeston Bump, after its location at the Beeston Hill Y station, once a World War II listening post that would intercept code and relay it to Bletchley Park to be decoded. For this operation, the ham's low elevation was matched by even lower power. The pair worked the HF bands using Morse code and QRP power levels. In keeping with the theme of being low profile, the amateurs also issued no special QSL card, no certificate, no awards, and used no special call sign. They took particular pride in calling themselves Boater for bumps on the air. Of course, they could have opted for a higher spot nearby, Beacon Hill. After all, it is 103 metres or 338 feet, but as Steve wrote in his blog, quote, "I don't want to overstretch myself. Anyway, the view is better at Beeston, and there are more ice cream shops nearby," unquote. He concluded his blog entry by acknowledging the good works of Summits on the Air amateurs and extended an apology to that group for his variation on their lofty theme. It was obvious, however, even at barely 200 feet up, the amateurs were still paying them a high compliment. To avoid confusion, this new Boater is not that other fun award scheme, Beaches on the Air. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Jeremy Boot, G4NJH.
With thanks to Allen Labs, the ARRL, Bumps on the Air, CQ Magazine, Dayton Demolition Hockey, the FCC, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, Hamfesters Radio Club, Irish Radio Transmitter Society, Ohio Penn DX Bulletin, QRZ, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Ted Randall's QSO Radio Show, Wireless Institute of Australia, WTN-TV, WTWW Shortwave, and you, our listeners, that's all from the Amateur Radio News Line. Please send emails to our address at newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website located at www.arnewsline.org. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, in Topeka, Kansas, saying 7-3. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2016.